This podcast is brought to you by the National Trust of South Australia. It's about local people and places. The first series comes from Gawler. Thanks for joining us on Our Town. Let's dive in.
In 1915, the people from the migrant hostel were becoming involved in the everyday life in Gawler. For an example, listen to the address presented by Gawler High School headmaster, Mr. Nichols, at Speech Night 1950, from a report in the Bunyip newspaper, read by Graham Tucker.
Reading from editorial published in the Gawler Bunyip on Friday the 22nd of December 1950, the heading was High School Speech Night, and this features the high school headmaster's report. Quoting, in his report at the annual speech night last week, Gawler High School headmaster, Mr. J.K. Nichols, congratulated students on the desire the majority had shown to finish the year, although jobs were so easy to obtain. Total enrolment for the year was 174, he said. The addition of 8 migrants had enabled the school to maintain an enrolment of 160 in December. The 8 new Australians, 4 boys and 4 girls, who had settled happily amongst students, were a splendid type, and when they mastered the rudiments of the English language, greater things could be expected from them. Mr. Nichols welcomed the chairman, Mr. H.G. Bray, and members of the school council, the president, Mrs. M.M. Roberts, and members of the Parents and Friends Association, the mayor and mayoress, Mr. and Mrs. Louis I., Mr. R.A. West, formerly headmaster of Adelaide High School, Mr. West's sister-in-law, Mrs. W.A. West, and the writer of the school hymn, Mr. Doug Johnson. Greatest achievements of the council this year, said Mr. Nichols, had been the acquiring for use of the new 2-room unit, including 1 room to be used mainly for commercial subjects and the other available for history, geography, and social studies. Regularly, the public address system proved its worth. In cooperation with the Technical School Council, the High School Council had made an unsuccessful attempt to obtain a high school site at Gawler South. Mr. Nichols thanked members of both councils for the assistance given towards that project. The council had agreed that its number one objective for 1951 would be the building up of the school library. The Parents and Friends Association, he continued, had made an excellent forward move when they enlarged their committees to include country representatives in the outlying districts. The executive asked for the wholehearted support of all parents and friends for the arrangement of a birthday banquet in April to mark their attainment of their 6th birthday. Mr. Nichols expressed gratitude to the Old Scholars Association Committee under the President, Mr. George Dulding, and Secretary, Mr. J. Lawrence, for valued help during this year and for their assistance in the offer made in meeting the expense incurred in the proposed scheme for housing the library books in a larger room. Thanks were expressed to donors of prizes and others who had assisted in various ways. Mr. Nichols referred to the introduction last February of a 4th bus from Virginia and 2 Worlds, catering for 22 students. The bus has now brought daily a total of over 90 students. Sport had suffered curtailment in the early part of the year owing to the polio epidemic. But since this, regular matches had been held. Sport and house matters had been ably administered by Mr. C. McMurtry and Miss M. Coney, with Mr. Bell as a worthy deputy. Early in the new year, Mr. A.S. Lampshed would sail for England. He occupied the position of woodwork and drawing teacher for a great number of years with marked success. Mr. Nichols said the children of Gawler were well-mannered, easily controlled, and most appreciated. It was a real pleasure to report that for 1950, there had been no discipline problem. He took the opportunity of expressing satisfaction at the cordial relations which had always existed between the staff of the technical school under the hard-working, earnest register, Mr. J.H. Chambers, and the high school staff. The school's junior Red Cross Circle had had a year of successful endeavour. Miss Coney had been circle leader and Claire Moody president, with Josie Richards and Anne McMurtry committee members. Committee for the ensuing year was Nancy Laws president, Judith Austin secretary, and Yvonne Williams. A year ago, Miss Inspector Gibson and Mr. A.W. Jones had spoken to students about the teaching service. Since then, the teacher recruitment campaign had progressed still further, and it was now understood that about 35 present students desired to join the service. Youth was the best time for learning, Mr. Nichols told students. This was the opportunity that makes you. The youth who stood up and asked, why do I have to learn this subject, forgot that it had stood the test of 1,000 years. While the acquiring of this knowledge might be the starting point of success, being prepared put one in touch with the opportunity that takes you. Many did not set out deliberately upon a certain career. Some of the great men in history today grasped the opportunity, they acquired the equipment and were ready when it came. There was, too, the person who was not ready when opportunity called, was not prepared when opportunity came, and found he had been a passenger instead of a worker. The Latin proverb, opportunitas semel, could be translated, opportunity comes but once. Mr. Nichols said he preferred the freer translation, the dawn of opportunity, which suggested that the early morn of opportunity was here for all. If you grasp it, it will take you where you want to go, to the city of fulfillment. Are you ready, he asked.
This is the final episode of Series 1 of Our Town. A special thanks to the Gawler National Trust Branch, who have provided their time and research so that we can bring these stories to you. Keep an ear out for Series 2 of Our Town, where we will hear stories from Clare and beyond.